thank a veteran for their service if you see him. And then not only thank them for their service, but spend some time with them. You know, ask them what they did in their service. So most veterans, not all, but most are would love to chat with you, especially the older veterans and the Vietnam veterans. So it's always appropriate to thank a veteran for their service.
Welcome to the Tango Tango podcast. Real, raw, and unfiltered conversations with veterans and those who support them. Tune in, be inspired, and walk away stronger.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Scott Luton and special guest host and rock and roll star Lloyd Knight here with you on both Supply Chain Now and Tango Tango. So Lloyd, how you doing today?
Scott, you and I are together for another Veterans Day. This is, I think we've known each other for close to 12 years now. So another Veterans Day is upon us. That's wonderful.
I love all the things we've done over those 12 years, including many Veterans Day activities. So we got a special show teed up that's going to offer up outstanding insights and valuable perspective, both from a couple angles here, from a great series that Lloyd's been leading, dedicated to the veteran community. All of our Tango Tango audience already knows that because it's Tango Tango with Lloyd Knight. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. But we're also going to offer up valuable perspective on some of Lloyd's hiring best practices when it comes to bringing on incredibly capable veteran talent in your supply chain organization. We're going to touch on some of the differences in all the military-themed holidays, the big ones out there each year, and perhaps best yet, we're going to dive into Lloyd's brain. That's right. What's between his ears on some of his favorite takeaways from season one of Tango Tango, plus some sneak peeks of what's coming up in an exciting season two that's coming up really soon. Lloyd, man, all that and a whole bunch more. Should be a great show, huh?
Looking forward to the conversation.
All right. I think you're ready to go, huh?
I'm like bouncing in my seat. I've been like looking forward to this like all week long.
Oh, same. All right. So let me do this. So Lloyd, I want to dive in and I want to start with a fun warm-up question that's very topical of today. Some folks may not know, Lloyd, that you have not only spent tons of your career journey making supply chain logistics happen, but also you retired from the United States Air Force after 20 years of service. So with that as a backdrop, I got to ask you the tough questions here. What's one of the best chow halls you ever ate at, and what's one of the worst chow halls you ever ate at? Tell us, Lloyd.
Well, I can definitely answer that. You know, I was a crew member flying cargo planes, traveled the world, been to 75 countries. So spent a lot of time eating at chow halls, or in the Air Force, we call them dining facilities because we're civilized. So absolutely the worst. Now, man, I apologize if I'm hurting anybody's feelings, but Navy dining facility in Rota, Spain. So so showed up at Rota, Spain one time, and it was late at night, and we were eating midnight chow. And normally midnight chow is a combination of what was served at dinner and then what's going to be served for breakfast. And it's normally pretty good, but wow, that was really, really, really horrible. Crunchy rice, undercooked rice, old beef patties, and it was the only thing open. And, you eat when you have an opportunity to eat. When you're a crew member, you don't turn a meal down. And normally, you know, I went on a mission one time. We took a flight surgeon with us, and we were gone for 10 days, and we ate breakfast for 20 times in that 10 days. And he measured our cholesterol and was like, oh, my gosh, your cholesterol intake. And it's a much different time now, those years later. But absolutely the best dining facilities have been the Air Force dining facilities. You know, we put more of an investment in it. They're night and day compared to the other branches of service. And the one, I was a first sergeant at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois, and there's several headquarters there. And that one was off the chain. The food was always good. The service was always great.
Okay. I love it, man.
What about you, like Scott? You remember back?
I do. I sure do. And I'm going to tell you, I've got some pictures. These were tough to find of dining facilities, as you put it. I had a couple bosses that always referred to it as a chow hall when I was active duty. And that probably stuck in my brain somewhere. But let me share a couple not so exciting pictures, but pictures nonetheless. This is Carolina Pines Chow Hall Dining Facility at Shaw Air Force Base, South Carolina, which was my first permanent duty station after basic and tech school. Now, they have, this looks a lot different. They've invested in this and rebuilt out a little bit since I was there back in 96 and 97. Yeah. And the main thing I remember about this, Lloyd, is after I get my sub sandwich, which was one of my favorite treats, I'd always get it to go because I'd go out and sit in my Saturn SL2 in the parking lot, turn some sports talk radio, and I'd eat kind of. And every once in a while, we'd have an F-16 demo taking place right across the ramp. And oh my gosh, if you've heard an F-16 demo, when they hit, when they do various turns and it is incredibly loud, so loud you can hear it through your car, and it would scare the devil out of you from time to time. So that was one of my favorite dining hall moments, because that is the sound of freedom at the end of the day, right? And then secondly, I know you can relate to the second one, Lloyd. The worst chow hall, not because of the food, but because of the experience, was basic, of course.
Oh, basic training. Oh,
yes.
Oh, no. I had to be, in basic training, I had to be the chow runner. What you're looking at here, it's the worst job you can get. You have to go in front of all the drill sergeants, the technical instructors, three times a day and request permission to eat, and it's horrible.
It is. I'm so glad you were a chow runner. I was not, but that's what this picture, as you mentioned, that's what this picture that which comes to us from Brian over with the Air Force, and it's the 331st Training Squadron from 2022 at Joint Base San Antonio, which was Lackland Air Force Base back in the day for me and probably for you. And this is the Flight 676 chow runner from a couple of years ago, doing exactly what you just mentioned, reporting in his flight.
Scott, you just gave me post-traumatic stress disorder. That is 6 weeks. So and you got to think 6 weeks, 42 days times three. So 126 times I had to go ask in front of what we called the snake pit.
Yes.
So a table full of drill sergeants who are not in good mood to request for my flight to have permission to eat. Why'd you do that?
Well, one last little nugget here, beyond the chow runner, so to speak, is the time you got. Amanda still marvels, and I don't try to eat fast, but I'm just a natural fast eater, driven probably by those days at basic where you had 10 minutes. There was no talking unless you wanted to invite folks from the snake pit to ruin your lunch. And it was evening, and you're out. And oh gosh! Yeah. And if you dared, remember this, Lloyd. If you dared, go get ice cream.
Oh, that's what I was just gonna say. There was an ice cream box. Wow! I wonder if that's still there.
Oh, we're gonna have to go back. I'd love to go back to what's now Joint Base San Antonio and revisit some of those experiences. But nevertheless, we got a great show teed up, folks. Again, it's Veterans Day 2025. It's a celebratory day for so many different reasons, which we're going to get into in just a second. But before we do, let me make one quick blurb. Well, folks, we always like to bring resources to you, and we want to make sure that you're aware of our almost weekly newsletter called With That Said. Now, we always offer up upcoming live shows, tools, resources, perspective from across global supply chain. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single thing. All right, so Lloyd, it's really important. I see this all the time on social scrolls when it comes to various military-themed days of the year. There's a lot of confusion out there, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but I got to tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves in the world is hearing Happy Memorial Day and seeing it as a celebratory day like others. And what I want to do here with you, for starters, is just kind of walk folks through what are three of the biggest military-related holidays each year. So let's start with Veterans Day, which is today. No, it happens on November 11th every year. It doesn't change dates. It's not tied to a certain day of the week. It's November 11th every single year. And Lloyd, what do we celebrate on Veterans Day?
So, let's take a look. It's November 11th. So why November 11th? So actually, Veterans Day is celebrated at 11:11 a.m. on November 11th, because that's when the armistice was signed in during World War I. The holiday used to be called Armistice Day, and President Eisenhower in 1957 changed it to Veterans Day. So this is the big celebration. So yeah, so Veterans Day, you go find somebody that served in the military, and you thank them for their service. So this is our holiday. Like, right, a lot of folks get a month. Veterans Day, we only get one day. So this is our big holiday. It's a grand celebration. And then there's two other holidays or days that you need to be aware of. The next one is Memorial Day, as Scott mentioned. And Memorial Day is a little bit more solemn. Definitely have celebrations for Memorial Day weekend and spend with your family, because, you know, that's what the sacrifices were due. You know, our quality of life as Americans, definitely go out there and celebrate. But Memorial Day itself is a solemn occasion. It's to celebrate the service members and veterans who have passed away.
That's right.
And honestly, it doesn't have to be that they've passed away in military service. You know, it could be that, hey, they're someone that served in the military, passed away. And this is a day to honor their military service. And then the third one is a less known. It's called Armed Forces Day. And Armed Forces Day is simply to recognize those that are currently serving in active duty, guard, and reserve. So that's another celebration day. You know, go out and service, you know, to celebrate those currently serving.
Well said, Lloyd. And folks, if you're keeping track at home, if these dates are new to you, remember that Veterans Day is always November 11th. Memorial Day is always on the last Monday in May, so that rotates the date a little bit. And Armed Forces Day is always the third Saturday in May. So good stuff, Lloyd. I appreciate you educating our already smart audience. But all of us, I've seen a lot of folks, really smart folks, unintentionally mix and mingle those days, and it's important to while they stand on their own. Let's shift gears here. Really want to get some of your perspective and point of view, because you've become quite a subject matter expert, Lloyd, on recruiting veterans into leading supply chain organizations and doing big things, as I mentioned, in supply chain logistics. So this could be, as I think we were talking pre-show, this could be like a 18-hour conversation based on all that you've seen, good, bad, and indifferent and ugly. But if you had to pick three best practices for those organizations that want to start getting it more right, what would be the first one? First best practice.
Yeah. So this is based on my experiences. You know, I lead veteran talent acquisition at UPS. We have over 18,000 veterans that work for us. So yeah, I've got a lot of experience doing that. I've created, co-founded, and have led Vetlanta for now, Scott, it's 12 years. Holy cow.
Wow.
And then I also have my own company called Nightwork, where I provide consulting services for companies looking to get help. And also the veterans that are transitioning, I do really these low-cost workshops to help them better transition. So the very first one is where companies really error is they don't have somebody with military experience or that are experts in the military recruiting area on their staff. So, you know, the military is a unique beast. You know, if you don't know the culture, if you don't know the rank structure, if you don't even know how to get on the base, if you don't know what the terminology is, it's going to be a big hit and miss. I've seen many companies really struggle with this. You know, something small like stock photos. You know, a lot of companies go out there and get on social media and they pull out these stock photos that are horrible and like don't represent the military population. And I can tell you, we see that as service members and veterans, and we're not going to take you seriously if we know that, hey, you're not going to put your best foot forward, not only to recruit veterans, but have a culture that is very receptive. We call it veteran friendly or veteran ready, and to retain veterans. So please, you know, hire subject matter experts or at least bring in a consultant that's going to help your company do it right. So for me, that's the biggest take of it. And Scott, we need to do a whole episode on just this subject.
We do. We sure do, because you have so much more to offer and there's so much more organizations need to know. But I want to throw this out there, too. Don't take it at face value if they say they're military experts or if they use that in their sales and marketing. You know, ask the question. Ask them about their experience. And better yet, if you are confused, especially if any of our global supply chain audience is confused and what they're hearing or seeing, hey, shoot us a note. We're happy to help you vet real resources from a lot of the reindeer games out there. Okay, Lloyd, and we'll get back to a full series to come on this topic. It's a really important one. Secondly, apart from all the reindeer games that go on in recruiting, nonprofit, you name it, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad actors out there. You've got some vetted organizations that folks can partner with, some veteran nonprofits that you and the team, probably the Vetlanta team, have really vetted and have seen their good work. What comes to mind there, Lloyd, for best practice number two?
Yeah, so absolutely find great partners that are out there that can help you. There's definitely some business partners like, you know, Nightwork, my company, but there's some wonderful nonprofits that can help as well. So just like to cover several of them, Hire Heroes USA. Love Hire Heroes USA because they're right in our backyard, headquartered in Alpharetta, Georgia. Ross Dickman has been their CEO, is a previous guest on Tango Tango. So they provide resumes for veterans and then mock job interviews. So they're one of my favorite organizations out there. The second one, there's one that's very close to their name structure, but it's through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Hiring Our Heroes Foundation. So they offer what's called Skill Bridge, where you can actually bring in interns from the military while they're still on active duty to work for you. Another great one is 4Block. 4Block is an organization that provides a full semester's worth of transition assistance, mostly on the career side of the house, helping veterans make that a transition. And there's a program specifically for logisticians and supply chain called Troops to Logistics. So all those are four vetted organizations that I give two thumbs up. But there's something to keep in mind. There's 45,000 nonprofits out there that provide some sort of support to either veterans or for companies. And those range from good, the bad, and the ugly. So make sure you do your homework. Charity Navigator is a great resource. Ask questions. Reach out to Scott and myself, and we can help you find those great ones that your companies need to partner with.
Well said. Folks, at Charity Navigator, that's an excellent tool. It's a vetted tool. And as Lloyd mentioned, it signs up like a quality score or a trust score on all a vast array of nonprofits, veteran-related and otherwise. So check out charitynavigator.org. So lastly, social media. Where does it play a part, Lloyd?
Social media is so important, and I'll specifically talk about LinkedIn because that's the only platform I'm really on. So LinkedIn is so important. Your company should absolutely have a presence. It's a great way. I'm always mentoring veterans. Your next career is going to be found through your network. You have to network, and you build that network, both in person and virtually. The number one place to grow your network is LinkedIn. So if your company is out there and you're looking to hire veterans, what you want to do is you want to get upstream. And by that, I mean, you want to have visibility for veterans years before they make the transition. So they know who your organization is, that they know your culture, that they know you're veteran friendly. So you need to be making an effort to be posting very pro veteran friendly type of correspondence. You know, at UPS, we have a military and veteran page specifically on LinkedIn. It's a great way to get upstream. It's a great way to post jobs specifically for veterans and to provide content. I provide a lot of content on how service members can be better candidates for UPS positions because at UPS, a lot of our jobs are super, super competitive. So I'm providing content that they can go out and read. Stuff like how to tailor your resume, how to network, how to work a job fair, because I want them to be better candidates when they get the opportunity to get in front of UPS.
Love it. Folks, Dig your well before you're thirsty, whether you're hiring or whether you're looking for a job. It's not going to happen overnight like a microwave bag of popcorn. So also reach out to Lloyd. He's a pro here. He can help you. He mentioned the night work earlier. He's working with some really big, powerful organizations, including, of course, his great work with UPS. All right. So, Lloyd, I know this, that there's a much longer list, but those three things are very actionable, and I appreciate you sharing it here on Veterans Day 2025. All right. We're about to get into some great Tango key takeaways. You're not going to miss it, but I want to offer up one more resource that is very supply chain related. A neat read from our Supply Chain Now blog series. Have you checked out our new website yet? SupplyChainNow.com. Brand new website. I love our resource hub. Well, the one and only Corinne Bursa shares some of her key takeaways from an incredible panel session that she led and conducted with an exceptional group of top supply chain leaders about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago now. It included several chief supply chain officers from some of the biggest brands in the world. So check out what her key takeaways are and let me know some of your key takeaways. Great session there. All right. So Lloyd, I want to get into the smash hit podcast at Tango Tango. When we dropped it, it was sizzling. It was so hot. It just wrapped season one. How many episodes was it season one, Lloyd?
I believe we did 13 episodes in season one.
I think you're right. And we had to do one more this wrap-up series, so we landed on 14 and not the unlucky 13, right? You've done incredible work. It's been fascinating conversations. The stories, the anecdotes, the takeaways, the poignant moments. Man, it's been awesome. So I want to do this. We got two episodes in particular we're going to dive into in just a second. But at a higher level, now that season one is done and we're planning for season two, what's been a couple of your favorite overall key takeaways?
Well, one, it's been absolutely wonderful to work with you and Amanda. So, you know, I've done podcasts on my own, you know, where I've had to do everything. So, Scott, you and Amanda and your team are spoiling me. It's absolutely wonderful. So this is a dream. So thank you. So, you know, my kind of key takeaways is this one, it's a lot of fun. I'm absolutely loving doing this. It's so much fun. And my second takeaway is, wow, you are an incredible mentor. So every time I get on a podcast with you, you are just a Sergeant Smooth. So you do this very, very well. And so I always enjoy whenever we have a chance to do an episode together. And I've seen how you've progressed over the years too, because we did some early episodes way back in the day. So it's been wonderful to watch you progress. And then third is, wow, every episode I learn more. And I think I get better as a host every episode. I'm excited for the 20 episodes we're going to do in season two. My fourth and final takeaway is I've learned how to shut up and let my guests tell their stories. And you know, I think a lot of podcasters get it wrong, that they feel that they have to do all the talking. And I've had these such incredible guests, which we're going to talk about three here in a minute, that I've just learned to let them speak and throw some great questions and let them tell their stories.
Lloyd, I love those. You're too kind on the front end. I really appreciate that. And it's been quite a journey. And of course, you reference Amanda, who leads production here at Supply Chain Now. But we got a bevy. You know, Josh was behind the scenes helping out production. He's like a maestro. So many others here at Supply Chain Now that really help us reach our audience and tell some of the stories that they may have missed and then stories that cannot afford to be missed. And Lloyd, I'll tell you, this Tango Tango series has been incredible. And the last point you mentioned, the ability to shut up. I know some folks may kind of take that as kind of a funny, but that's an important takeaway, because being able to actively listen, especially in an interview or a podcast, really any time is valuable, but be able to stop and just take in what your guests, the story they're sharing, and not think about what you're going to say next. That's a superpower. So I think we all could get better at that. Would you agree, Lloyd?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have more to learn on that than just not in the podcast business, but in the 365, that's my life, you know.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Okay, so you tease a couple of, all the episodes are great. Folks, check out Tango Tango wherever you get your podcast. Given the time we have it here today on Veterans Day 2025, we have so much to celebrate. We got time for a couple really special episodes. And this first one, Pat McNamara. So this guy is pretty legendary, Lloyd. Tell me about this episode.
So this is an incredible episode. I laugh at this. I followed Pat. If you get on social media, he has hundreds of thousands of followers. He's quite the personality. He had this amazing career, you know, serving as a Green Beret then over a decade in Delta Force, which is just amazing. I think it was 14 maybe plus years.
Wow.
So absolutely amazing. I reached out to the Pat on LinkedIn, again, build your network, and just invited him on the podcast to let him know what we were doing. He immediately said yes. And I was really impressed with that. I try to do the same too. I try to be responsive anytime somebody asks me for something. And he said yes. And then he asked a little bit about the format. And I always tell, hey, the format is like a shorter version of Joe Rogan. Like, I'm not going to provide you a script. I'm not even going to provide you any questions or talking points. We're just going to talk about what comes up. And I want you to tell stories. And we're just going to go to the conversation. And that's, if you looked at the first 13 podcasts, I think our shortest one was 37 minutes. And our longest one was close to 2 hours.
Wow.
Because we're just taking us where the stories tell us. So I said, hey, it's going to be Joe Rogan. And he goes, yeah, I was on that podcast. So not knowing that he was actually on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Wow.
So I thought it was pretty amazing. And so I went back after our episode and watched the Joe Rogan podcast with him. I actually thought ours was better. And it's just not me, but just because I think we got bigger and more personal because it was from one veteran to an ex. So I thought it was better. So hey, check them both out. If you haven't watched that episode yet, check it out. He is an amazing personality. And then Scott, he was intense as well. So we got on. I usually like BS with my guest for about 5 or 10 minutes to get him comfortable. I'm all about, you know, putting people at ease and establishing these connections. And he was like, let's do it. Like right off the bat. And by the end of it, we had such a great conversation. You know, he was very complimentary. He was like, hey, this was amazing. You did a wonderful job at this. So
love it.
Yeah. So it was an absolutely amazing episode.
Outstanding. I tell you what, it sounds like he can move mountains himself from that conversation, the snippets I heard, and what you're sharing here today. What an incredible story. That, as if that's not good enough, this other fascinating story is all about Atomic Echoes. And he had quite a 1-2 punch here. Lloyd, tell us more.
Yeah, so if you've been following me, I'm a presidential scholar at the Bush Institute Veteran Leadership Program. And it's an absolutely amazing program. It runs from July through November. So I'm actually getting ready to graduate and spend some time with President Bush and Mrs. Wow. Bush, which is pretty exciting. But Victoria Kelly is one of my classmates. And she did this, a documentary on PBS called Atomic Echoes. And then Atomic Echoes is all about a U.S. military veterans that were all situated to invade Japan during World War II, had to shift their mission. And they ended up shifting their mission from war fighting to humanitarian operations, specifically Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So the story is a twofold story. It's about these service members, and there's still some alive that they've interviewed about, you know, their terrible memories they have of going in and serving as peacekeepers and humanitarian. And some of these gentlemen have some of the worst PTSD that hasn't been recognized. And then the second half is going over and hearing stories from survivors in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And, you know, that might seem depressing, but wow, it's about forgiveness and resiliency and strength of these people. Some of the stories are just some moving and touching. So we actually, Victoria told us about this documentary. We watched it in the Bush Institute I was kidding around with like, wow, my allergies are acting up because, you know, I had tears in my eyes. And then I asked Victoria if she wanted to be on Tango Tango, and she jumped at it and invited her co-creator, Karen, to be on the show. And so the two of these ladies joined the show, and wow, I was just so impressed with both of them. For one, they're very accomplished authors, both of them. And then two, they're very personable stories. So Victoria's grandfather was one of these Atomic Echo veterans. And then Karen's relatives were actually in Japan and are featured in the story. And she'd go, the two of them with Karen's father go over to Japan to film some of this. So just being so impressed with both of these ladies and just so moved by their interviews. And they were grateful to be on the podcast, but I was more grateful tenfold to have them on to tell their stories.
Mm. Lloyd, that is incredible. Both of these episodes, and really it's a perfect illustration of all the 13 podcast episodes you released in season one of Tango Tango. All right. So let me ask you one more quick question. I'm going to surprise you on something here, since I know you're a big fan of the spontaneity. Do you, out of all those episodes, in the warm-up, on the front end, right, where you're trying to get folks comfortable and they're meeting you for the first time maybe, and you're warming things up, you're making maybe small talk, or, you know, before you get into the heavy stuff, what was one of your favorite exchanges with any of the guests that joined you on again, the first, you know, five minutes or so in any of those conversations? What comes to mind, Lloyd?
Well, if you flash back to the John Thompson episode, so John Thompson's episode was about his military career. He was actually the commander of the Night Stalkers for the Bin Laden raid. So he was in Afghanistan. It was his pilots and his team that went in and flew those top secret helicopters.
Wow.
And the support helicopters to get Bin Laden. Well, John's a friend of mine. So we went to the same church together for years. He works at Cox corporate headquarters, which is, I can almost throw a rock out my back door and hit it, and it's very close to UPS. We've known each other for a long time. So it was, and John and I always throw barbs at each other. It wasn't as much as getting to know each other. It was just having a sense of humor. Mm. You know, he throws Air Force jokes and quips up my way, but it was amazing to go from that to really getting in and knowing John's story. And, you know, I'm friends with his wife, Lachelle. And so if you go back to that episode, I'm constantly asking, what was Lachelle feeling? Like, right? Mm. We get into his feelings, which a lot of veterans don't like to talk about feelings. And one of the things I ask him is, like, when he got invited for the first time, he thought he was actually getting fired. He got invited late one night into a general officer's house, and his wife served them milk and cookies. And that was when they broke it to him that they were going to get Bin Laden.
Wow.
So I asked him, like, hey, what were you actually feeling in this moment? And check out the episode to hear his response, because his response was very special.
Wow. I'll tell you what, folks, if those three conversations don't put a shiver up your spine, hey, you better check your pulse. So go check out Tango Tango wherever you get your podcasts, and you're going to enjoy Lloyd's interview style. I tell you, I've seen it evolve over the years, like all we do, all of us do. You know, Lloyd, if you remember, before we talk about season two, you were talking earlier in the conversation about the early days when we hosted podcasts together on Veteran Voices, and we've had some great hosts and guests over the years. But there was one show, and we're over at Enrique Alvarez's office, Vector Global Logistics, over there at King Plow. We do have some studio space. And we were upstairs, in which is a bit confined space. And we had some really big guys around a very small table. And we were shoulder to shoulder as we were having a conversation. But it was like the conversation was so good that you didn't even notice that you didn't have room really to stretch out your legs or to adjust yourself in your chair. And that's when you know you're having conversations that are hitting when folks are opening up, they're sharing their anecdotes and experiences that we can all learn so much from. And Lloyd, those are some fun times back in the day, huh?
Oh, absolutely. We had such a good time. We had some big names on their shows back then. We arranged those early shows. We had John Tien, who was under Deputy Secretary for Homeland Security under the last administration. My all-time favorite, David Bellavia, the only living Medal of Honor recipient from Iraq that came in studio. And I remember walking out. And there was these three very young folks walking into King Plow, and they saw the Medal of Honor hanging off his neck. And they're like, what is that? And David's wonderful. He always takes it off, and he's got the dirtiest Medal of Honor you've ever seen, because he takes it off. And he handed it to these three, you know, young adults, and they had no idea what they were looking at. And so, you know, so that was a very special memory. And, you know, having Dan Solo to talk about his PTSD story. And we had a crazy heavy metal band that sang music about, you know, about PTSD. So we had some really powerful stories and some big guests early on in the career of Veteran Voices. And we're going to have a lot more of that in upcoming seasons for sure.
That's right. And while we're talking about those early years of Veteran Voices, big shout out to the one and only Mary Kate Saliva, who did a great job hosting several seasons of Veteran Voices. And I tell you, she's, by the way, as Dr. Mary Kate Saliva. So kudos to you, Mary Kate. I wish you well in wherever your current journey is taking you. All right. So Lloyd, speaking of big things, you've already mentioned we're going bigger in season two with Tango Tango. We're planning for 20 episodes. What would you like to sneak peek and tease here today about season two?
Wow, we have some really good guests coming up. So I'm definitely going to lean on my Bush Institute and some of the alum in that group. We have Patrick Flood, who's agreed to come on the show. So Patrick, before he joined the Army and went into Special Forces, he was an actor on Young and Restless.
Really?
And he did a handful of B-rated movies. And he's doing amazing thing in the veteran space. So we're going to have him. We're going to have Mark Riley. Mark is one of my new best friends. Mark is now a retired command sergeant major. He was in the Army band for, I think, 30 full years. He was the command sergeant major of the Drum and Fife Corps and was in the Old Guard in Washington, D.C. for 20 years. And he runs some great musical programs that he does post-Army retirement. So he's going to come on. I'm working with, and I haven't been able to announce it yet, but the current Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins, I'm in talks to get him on the podcast. He's a very podcast-friendly official in the government. So I think that would be a real coup if we can make it happen. Bob McDonald, one of the previous VA secretaries, was one of the guests at one of my previous Bush Institute classes. He's agreed to do the show. We have some other big names. I mean, big names, but even better than big names, big stories that we're going to have. And you know what? I'm going to learn how to shut up and let them tell their stories. And but we're going to have some great episodes. And then, Scott, we're also going to do some cross-pollinization across the supply chain now. So looking forward to some of that as well.
We are too. Bigger, better, bolder. But most importantly, as you mentioned, because I completely agree with you, it's about the stories. It's about the stories. The names are great. The big things they've done in their career are great. But the stories that help us all exchange world perspective a little bit easier, or find new ideas or new ways to make it through challenging days or even the good days. The stories are the best. And Lloyd, I tell you, you're really good at shutting up. That might be the title of today's show. The superpower of just shutting up. We all need to learn it and get better at it. Let's do this, Lloyd. So season two, folks, is coming to your favorite podcast player. Look up Tango Tango with Lloyd Knight. You can check out all the episodes already been published and get ready as we download and back up the truck and drop another 20 episodes on you coming up soon in the months ahead. All right, so Lloyd, I got two questions before we wrap up here today. And you've already kind of answered this first one, but I'm going to ask you again, because here at the end, it might be more actionable and it might stick with people. What is one simple way that folks can honor veterans here on Veterans Day 2025?
So I'm going to give you two ways. So thank a veteran for their service if you see them, and then not only thank them for their service, but spend some time with them. You know, ask them what they did in their service. So most veterans, not all, but most are, would love to chat with you, especially the older veterans and the Vietnam veterans. So they, you know, have these discussions, but it's always appropriate to thank a veteran for their service. And the second one is, hey, give to some of these great veteran organizations out there. So they're amazing organizations, and not only money, but time as well. And so they're amazing. If you're looking for somebody to give to, just reach out and I can provide you a list of some great organizations that could use your support.
Awesome. Lloyd, very actionable. And I would just echo on both of those, especially giving to those vetted nonprofits. Use Charity Navigator, use Lloyd Knight, what have you. But on the first one, beyond thanking them, sit down and talk with them. I bet they got some stories to share, right? Shake their hand, look them in the eye, and then be prepared to shut up and listen. You'll never know what you hear. That's good stuff. Good actionable advice there, Lloyd, on Veterans Day 2025. Now, you've invited folks to reach out to you numerous times here today. You always do. Let's make that really easy for folks. Lloyd Knight, how can folks reach you?
Yeah, the easiest way to reach me is LinkedIn. I'm super, super responsive on LinkedIn, so just reach out there. Then always, hey, we're looking for partnerships on the Tango Tango podcast. So if you think a partnership makes sense, reach out to Scott and his team, and he would love to start doing some more partnerships and maybe an episode specifically for you or for your organization.
Love that, Lloyd. Love the challenge, folks. Reach out and get a conversation teed up with Lloyd or our team. And better yet, get ready for season two of Tango Tango. All right. You know what? I hate to wind down our conversation here today, Lloyd. I've had way too much fun. Just the beginning fun warm-up question gave me lots of memories and laughs here today. But most importantly, folks, I want to build on what Lloyd said. Today's a special day. Let's celebrate all those that have worn the uniform and served our country and made the sacrifice. It is so important. We call time out. And I'm so glad we've got at least a day of the year. I know Lloyd mentioned other countries have weeks and maybe months, and that's great. That's a beautiful thing. But today of all days, do something to celebrate our incredible veterans. Big thanks today. Lloyd Knight, host of Tango Tango. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Lloyd, great to have you here today with us.
And thanks, Scott, for having us. Thanks for this partnership. Love you. Love what you're doing with Supply Chain Now. Thank you to the staff. And Scott, thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day, my friend.
Hey, you bet. Same to you, my friend. Big thanks to Joshua, Amanda, Trisha, you name it, all the folks behind the scenes helping to make production happen here today. As Lloyd mentioned, there'll be some cross-pollination throughout the year coming up. And especially, one last time, big thanks to all of our veterans out there that have served our country. So folks, you've got homework here today. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation, but your homework is simple. Take one thing you heard here from Lloyd today. Focus on maybe those two actionable pieces of advice of what to do, how to celebrate veterans here on Veterans Day 2025. Take one thing, whatever it is, put it in action. Deeds, not words. That's how we're going to keep transforming and building a brighter future. And with all that said, Scott Luton here on behalf of the Supply Chain Out teams, challenging you, do good, give forward, be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here on Supply Chain Out and Tango Tango. Thanks, everybody.
The Tango Tango podcast is proudly sponsored by Supply Chain Now. Join the Tango Tango community for more inspiring stories. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. Subscribe to the Tango Tango YouTube channel. And follow and listen to Tango Tango wherever you get your podcasts.